Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anne, who is here to speak with us about her experience of starting her fundraising page on the 2018 GoodWalk campaign site. Welcome, Anne.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Oh, happy to be here.
Good. So, first, it was lovely to get your feedback, and I partly say this because an encouragement for people to use it as a resource, that I think you said that the email that launched the campaign and then the good news updates that went with it were helpful in walking you through the process of setting it all up.
Yes, well, a confession, I have not yet set it up because I somehow lost the email, but I already started my fundraising even though I haven't set the page up yet. But I'm going to do that, yes.
Excellent. Yep. Good. So tell us about your process around all of it and your kind of what you're seeing. And
first of all, going back, it was like, I don't know, sometime this summer I went, I haven't heard anything about the bridge walk.
You know, what's happening with the bridge walk?
What's going on? And then when I heard what was going on, I was very excited because I think it's such a fun idea. And when I got the email about fundraising and I heard the good news update, and then Ashwini also sent a wonderful, monastery newsletter? I forget what it's called. Anyway,
Amusing.
She sent us great, yeah, the Musings article today, which was just wonderful. But I knew that I wanted to do something. I had already put in my head, okay, I'm going to do that all and launch it the weekend that we normally do our bridge walk, because, you know, we've been doing this bridge walk for 16 years, and the first weekend of October, I always have set aside to do the bridge walk. So instead of going to the bridge walk, I was going to invest that time in launching my fundraiser.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so then what I did was, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. And so then what you did
it was Friday because I was going to do it all, and then I couldn't find the email, and I'm like, I was so committed. I really wanted to start it on the weekend of the bridge walk because a lot of people I know that the first weekend of October, that's what I do, and they had not heard from me. So I decided I didn't want to send out a group email and just blind copy everybody. I really wanted to reach out to people individually. So I wrote about three or four paragraphs about the bridge walk, which I embedded in the email. So I didn't have to rewrite, you know, an email for each person. But at the beginning, it was such a wonderful experience because I got to say to people, you know, this is the first weekend of October and I'm normally doing the bridge walk, but this year we're doing something different. And I'm taking this opportunity to reach out to you. And to me, it felt like an early Christmas card or early holiday card where I got to touch base with people and ask them how they were doing. And it was just a wonderful experience.
Uh-huh. That's so lovely, that image of it feels like an early holiday reaching out. Can you say more about how, because I project some people wouldn't make that connection. How is asking for money an early holiday greeting?
Well, because what I did is I went through my email address book and I thought, oh my heavens, I haven't, and it reminded me of people I haven't talked with for a while. And, you know, I don't know other people. I don't do this a lot, but I imagine, you know, some people have this ritual of every Christmas they reach out to everybody on their mailing list to say, I mean, my family used to do this, you know, here's what's going on in our family, what's happening with you. And so it was just a wonderful way to touch base with people and let them know I'm thinking about them and I care about them. And, you know, I heard back from some people who said they couldn't, you know, given their financial situation or given their commitments to other projects, they couldn't, quote unquote, donate. And I wrote them back and said, you know, I just want you to know that there's other, thank you for the work you're doing. I want you to know there's other people that are doing this kind of work and gain inspiration from that. And the way you can, quote unquote, donate is to go online and read about what we're doing and just know that this is what's going on.
Yeah, amen. I love that piece of it. So thank you for that, because that's the connection that I have really found for myself over the years. And the thing that feels really fun to me about this year coming together is that I feel, and we've talked about this in the last couple of Good News Updates, but I feel like the platform, like sort of the technology, the structures have caught up with the spirit that we've been heading in for the last number of years. And I just love that connection that you made, is that, you know, during the holidays, a lot of people reach out and they talk to, they sort of share what's important to them. And here's what's going on with me. And, you know, here's what I'm seeing. And this, for those of us in this sangha, this is something that's really important to us. And so I think for one of the things for me that's interesting is that it asks me to go past the hurdle of what the voice in my head says, how people are going to react. And it's just not true. It's just totally opposite.
Well, I did have one friend say to me, I mean, it's so interesting to watch, because you get to learn so much. Somebody said, well, I don't really like humans, so I only donate to causes for animals. And I thought, oh, you know, that's really interesting. And then, Jen, I had this experience, you know, because I'm totally right with you on the voices on the head. Part of because, you know, people asked me to participate to this day to talk about, well, why did you want to do a fundraiser rather than just donate? And for me, or I don't mean to belittle donate. I shouldn't have said just instead of donating. But for me, there's something about participation in it. And there's a passiveness for me to donating, where I want to say to people, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is how, well, for me, it was really important, not only because it was the anniversary of the bridge walk, and that's normally what I do that weekend, but because for me, and I know a lot of people, we were just coming out of some really rugged politics in this country and very negative, down, depressing stuff. So one of the ways I started the email is I've been really down given the news, and I really want to focus on the positive. And this is one way for me to focus on what's good in the world.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. You know, what I actually love about that is that it really goes with the spirit of the campaign, which is that as we were putting it together, we realized how much there is to celebrate and to be thankful for, and that we wanted it to come from that place instead of a place of lack, which is exactly what you're describing.
Well, yeah, and like what Sherry said on the call this morning, there's so much more good happening in any one moment than there is bad. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to say, I so appreciate how the website is written, because one of the things I did in writing my letter, because I hadn't yet created my link and picked a thing to, what do you call it, a campaign to adopt. I don't know what the right language is.
Yeah, the project.
Projects you can pick from. And so what I did is I love the way it's written, where it says this amount of money buys this, because what I did in my email, I said $2 will buy a can of beans, and then I went and, you know, $13.50 whatever it was would buy this, and $25 will put a little girl through preschool, and so I went with examples all the way to $100. $100 will put a young woman through high school. And there's a lot of people in my life I don't have email address for, because I practice yoga and I see a lot of people at yoga I don't have email addresses for. But I happen to have the email address for this one person because he'd happened to have knee surgery lately and I checked in on him. So I thought, well, what the heck? I'm going to send him this email. And he sent me this beautiful email back saying, you know, I would so love to support a young woman for high school. Thank you.
Wow.
The other thing that happened, Jen, that just blew me away, talking about the voices, you know, there's this, what would I say, kind of a review process that goes on. Well, I really shouldn't send an email to that person because of this or that or what. And I have this really dear old friend who actually founded a similar project. It's called Mercy Beyond Borders, and she works in South Sudan and Haiti educating young women. And it's always fundraising for those projects, and it's she does incredible work. So what I did in hers is I said, I don't expect you to donate because your life is a donation, but I want you to share, I want you to know that there's other people doing this work. And she sent me the most beautiful note back and said, and I'm going to see what I can do to donate to your project. And that just so floored me.
Amen. Now I really have goosebumps. And you know what, Anne? I just went right there with your friend, because I've had that experience. I mean, someone tells me about what they're doing, I want to give them all my money. Every time I see someone who is doing something that is coming from that place of so clearly, like, getting up out of themselves, and what's that quote, you know, if we're not serving something larger than ourselves, we're self-serving, which doesn't serve me, it serves the self, and the self hates me. So it's such a win-win to A, I want to make one more connection to get up out of myself and to participate in something, but that extra step of choosing to participate in the way of actively, you know, sharing it with people that I love and that I know, that's even bigger.
Yes.
You know, that even invites us into a larger place.
Yeah, and I know we're out of time, but I do want to say one other thing, because one of the things I've realized that is so important in any time, but particularly for me in this time, is to not only participate, but to connect to people and, you know, to say I care about you, I see you, I'm interested in you. And so even I can already tell that even if people, I mean, I don't know if they'll donate or not. Who knows? I'm going to send the link once I've set it up. But, you know, I've gotten so much feedback from people saying just, you know, who I can tell are so grateful that I reached out to them, that I remember them, that, you know, that I'm thinking of them. And they can, I mean, I would project, feel the love.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, just one, you're right, Ann, we do need to end. And but the last thing that I'm really taking away from what you're saying is, you know, you're talking about, I don't know if I'll send it to that person. It reminds me to look beyond, okay, my sister, my mom, my dad, you know, my best friend, but to look bigger than that. And because of that, exactly that process you're talking about, that it feels so good when someone remembers us. And that in itself is a way of spreading the kindness that we want to be in the world, is just recognizing people and sharing with them.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win situation.
It is. It so is. And thank you so much, Anne, for your participation both in the campaign and for being with us this evening.
Oh, thank you, Jen.
All right. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Anne. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Wasn't that fun?
That was fun. That was very fun, very inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
I like that focus on the participation piece of it that Ann mentioned. Writing the check, for me it's important, and I like the you know, the pull to participate, which is what our practice is all about. So it's great.
Yeah, exactly. Ashwini and I just had the opportunity to do a radio interview, and that's what people are asking, you know, well, now what is it that you do? and to talk about what we do in terms of it's a practice. We can only get so far reading about something or understanding something or thinking about something. That participation is, I've got on that T-shirt right now. That's what it comes down to. If we're not participating, we're not positioning ourselves to receive the very most that we can receive.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, that's my experience, exactly.
Yeah.
For me, what dropped in as you were talking is there's a practicality, making things real, that happens through participation rather than just reading the book. And so that's why it's important to, you know, come on retreat and come to a workshop and
show up the radio shows. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have that same experience that was talked about. That so everybody's afraid to ask. It seems to be universal. Lynn Twist is the only person on the planet that I can think of who's just not afraid at all to ask. And then that experience of, you're doing what? Oh, my gosh. Oh, I want to contribute to that. In fact, there's something that I do every year. Do you know what CASA is? CASA?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Advocates for Children, and so I participate with them because that's the thing that I particularly am interested in. That's not true at all, but that I'm committed to in this country, to do work with children in this country. And I just received a letter from them, a thank you letter for my participation. And I just read the first sentence and started to cry. And the reason was getting to participate in something like that. You know, having somebody say, you're participating in this. You're making a difference in the lives of these children. And it's like, how lucky is that? You know, and that people are doing that work, and I get to support them. I don't know. It's a hard thing to put into words, but we all know the experience of. And to realize that we're not the only ones having that experience. Other people are going to feel that way too. Other people, I want to donate to Anne's friend's project. What powerful, important work she's doing. I want to donate to that. I'll get with her. She'll text me. She's listening. She'll text me and tell me how to do that.
Yes, and I know it's I have gift. That experience. I have that experience with the Africa Project. You know, the experience you described with CASA, and I project other people have that with Africa as well, because there's such goodness in every aspect of it.
Yeah, and you get a little note thanking you, and you just think, "Oh, really? no, really, thank you." And it's just so sincere all the way around. And to realize, again, we're not the only people who feel that way. And those voices that want to talk us out of asking are not concerned about anything except keeping us from being open-hearted and participating. And it is vulnerable. You know, it is vulnerable to invite somebody into something that's important to us. That's good. It's good to be vulnerable.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's a lovely way to start the show. Yes. Yes. And I have announcements here.
Well, what else is going on?
Well, today today is the last day to register for a 6-week conference call retreat in recording and listening training. The retreat begins October 15th and will teach 6 key skills of the recording and listening practice. Registration closes a half hour after the radio show ends.
Aha. One of the people who interviewed Ashwini me this afternoon, the thing she'd been on our website, and the thing she was most interested in was recording and listening. Because she said, you know, everybody's talking all the time, but, you know, we're not listening to each other. So tell me about that. And then after the interview, she said, now, how do I find out more about? And it was just so interesting to watch her apply that awareness kind of globally to all of us all the time.
Yes.
And then for her to bring it back to her children and her partner and, how to use these techniques to have better relationships. I saw the program with new eyes, you know, of how important that can be to somebody.
Yes, yes. I project the many ripples that go out as a result of learning that skill.
Mm-hmm.
And was that interview recorded? Is that going to be available for the rest of us to enjoy?
It was, and we talked about that. They're going to let us know, and then we'll let everybody know when it happens.
Great.
Fun. It's fun to be interviewed by people who know what we do. And it's really fun to be interviewed by people who have no idea. They have an idea about spirituality and that sort of thing. But you know, how do we approach it? We'll let folks know when it's available.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
and Back by Popular Demand, an email class with you, Sherry, on death and dying, will provide a framework to bring into conscious, compassionate awareness the unexamined beliefs and assumptions that keep us from being fully alive now. And that class begins October 26th.
Yes. And it's not, I can't say that. I started to say it. It's not scary. I don't know that it's not scary, but it's not. It's certainly not meant to be. And we'll go wherever we go with the discussion. But it really is aimed at helping us. It kind of like for anybody who's in the How workshop in the morning, it's very similar to that process. The kinds of questions that are, you know, they're not going to rattle anybody's foundation or shake it or whatever the image would be for that. But just the kinds of things that we don't tend to stop and consider that are really helpful and liberating to consider.
Yes.
And they're helpful to consider. And again, in that process we were just talking about, it's helpful to open discussions with family and people close to us.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
A new group coaching opportunity, Compassionate Scheduling with the Mentor. We'll look at creating a schedule based in kindness that allows us to take good care of ourselves as we live our daily lives. The coaching begins October 30th. And you, Sherry, will be conducting a workshop on recording and listening at Stanford University in the San Francisco Bay Area on November 7th. This event is free and is part of the Campus Contemplation by Design Summit. You will talk about using this great tool to focus attention to live authentically. Registration information can be found on the Living Compassion Schedule webpage.
Mm-hmm. This is where I always say back to our roots, right?
Yes. Yes.
Back to where it all began.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wonderful. And coming back to our good news with Anne and Jen, celebrate courage, generosity, and family as part of the Africa Project and sign up for one of our fabulous fundraising teams this year. You'll also want to mark your calendars to join the 2018 Bridge Walk in Cantalomba via live stream on December 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, that's a part of it that I can forget about. That's really important, isn't it, to get that on the calendar, December 1st.
Yes.
Like we do with the kickoff, we're all going to be together. Live from Zambia.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes in length on one topic is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, hi, it's Linda from Alabama.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
How are you doing?
I am fair to middling. That's an Alabama term for okay.
Yeah, I know it well. my folks originally were from Missouri, so I think slid up a little bit and. Yeah, made it all the way out here, fair to Midland. So what are you seeing? I know you've got that that paw that's giving you some trouble.
Yeah, I'm dealing with that. But, you know, I think, you know, I have, it's, it, it's going from good to bad. You know, it's like I'm doing good some of the time. And so I'm going to go with that for the moment. So, yeah, so I've got a whole folder of recordings just for this and listening to them regularly, and it helps a lot. And you know, so, what's coming up in my head right now is I just wanted to get better.
Yeah. You just, of course. You just want it to stop hurting. Stop doing
right.
that. Stop. Yes.
Work.
Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But,
you know,
yeah.
I know it will. And I mean, it steadily is getting better. It steadily is getting better. So it was very helpful.
And so you're listening to the recordings, and that
right.
helps. And do you get talked out of listening to them?
Sure, yeah. I do sometimes get talked out of listening to them. I started today. I made a schedule. And, you know, I always overestimate how much I can do in a period of time. So I readjusted the schedule all day. But I had three 15-minute recording and listening times, and I also had several rest periods where I was listening to podcasts, and I listened to my special recordings just for this several times also. So today I did very well with it.
You did very well with keeping your schedule, and
right.
it helps you feel better.
Like, I didn't get everything on the schedule done, but I did those things anyway, you know.
Yes. It's
so,
critical,
yeah.
isn't it?
Right.
Go ahead. Well, that's how conditioning wants to do it, right?
Right.
It gives you a list that is longer than you can do.
Right.
And then it tells you, unless you get that longer than you can do list done, you can't do these things that take care of you.
Right.
But what you did today was do those things that take care of you anyway.
Right.
And that list can carry right on over until tomorrow.
Exactly, right.
And you'll feel better tomorrow.
Right.
For having attended to you rather than that to-do list.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's true. Very true.
And Linda, the thing that I'm seeing in that I think is just, is essential for all of us to see. So on the one hand, it's after you with bringing your attention to it, and
right.
it's miserable, and God, I wish this were over, and I don't want to be having this experience, and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Right.
So that's one piece of it. And then you want to do something that helps this experience not be so awful.
Right.
And you get talked out of doing that.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's just really important to see that those voices that are complaining are the same voices that talk you out of doing what would make it easier for you.
Okay, yeah, good, right. And I'm also kind of looking for what, you know, I'm not really a big believer in things happen for a reason, but I am a believer in that you can get something positive out of things that happen.
Yep, me too. I'm right there with you, sister.
So I've been kind of looking at that, too. And one of the things that happened through this whole thing is that I had a really horrific time with the casting. Like, my arm's not no longer in a cast. My bones are healed. It's my problem now. It's more of a another a complication thing. So, but when I was being casted, they put these horrible casts on my arm that were too tight. And I gave in to the authority.
Oh, wow. They must know what they're doing. It must
right.
be okay. What's
right.
the matter with you? You're just being a big baby. Everybody
right.
else can do this. Why can't you do it?
And I get a little of that at home, you know. I have an authority figure in my home. My husband is a doctor, so. And so I didn't go with my gut, and I'm afraid that that's part of the reason that I'm having the problem I am now. I don't have any way of knowing that for sure, but it's still there. But anyway, so one of the things I would like to get out of this is to own my
choose you
right and speak up.
That's right. That's right.
My voice.
Because why not?
Right.
Why not?
I like
it's
that.
Your arm. They are
yeah.
getting paid a boatload of money to take care of your arm.
Right.
And we forget that. And that you can ask them, tell them, in just the nicest way possible, no, that's not right. And so we need to do it again. Thank
right.
you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to be mean or hateful or even ungrateful. They're
right.
trying to do the best they can. They're
right.
doing. They're not trying to put something on there that's going to hurt you.
Right.
And so if it does hurt, to be able to say, we need to do that again because it's not, it's pinching. It hurts.
Right.
It's too,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
and it's easy to see how people get to that conclusion of things happen for a reason, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Because mm-hmm. you do learn from.
Yeah. If you're taking advantage of it, we do see these things.
Right.
And that's, I agree with you. That's the thing we can get out of this. If we're paying attention, we'll always see something helpful in every situation.
Right.
Is somebody doing this to us? I doubt it. Because that would be not nice.
Right. If somebody's doing this, say that again.
Well, that belief that people have that this is being
oh, right,
done
this is for a reason.
For
like, they're actually doing this to me, so I learn a lesson. That just seems
yeah.
so cruel to me.
Yeah, that doesn't feel good. We'll
right.
just go ahead and learn from everything
right.
there.
Right,
yeah.
And I've come a long way to get there, you know, through this practice and, you know, just life is to get that, you know, that you can learn something from something bad happening
yes.
to you, and that rather than just wallowing in the, you can look,
yes.
you can look for the positive in it. And
yes.
Another positive
and
is really is making me focus in on practice, which I
right
I always.
You've never practiced that
thing.
Much during any day before, have you?
Right. I wouldn't say never, but for sure not very often.
Yeah. Oh, maybe those times on retreat. That
yeah.
would be about
yeah.
it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's really good, and to get to that place of trusting that you're equal to this, and you've seen what you've seen, and you're grateful for that, and here we go.
Right, and I think practice has really got me to, you know, I'm thinking, I got this, man. I know how to deal with this. I got this. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you stay with her, okay?
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks,
night.
Linda.
Go
Good
happy.
Night.
Bye.
Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Linda. That was a lovely conversation, Sherry. And what was dropping in for me was that skill you were talking about, that communication skill of thank you so much for what you've done, and it's not really working. And so we need to look at this again. And it's just such a powerful skill to have.
Yes, yes, yes. Instead of that place that ego wants us to go, which is I can't say anything because they're going to be upset with me. And so I just need to suck it up and suffer. And then I need to be resentful and upset
yes.
and angry
yes.
and feel bad. All of that stuff. Rather, we got to put this in the communication book, huh?
Yes.
Because
yes.
it's all the result of not doing this very, very simple thing, which is in a kind, respectful way, communicating to somebody what is so for us.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise the resentment builds, as you said, and then I just blow up later on, and it's a huge surprise to everyone
yes.
because I was quiet all along.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Speaking up
or,
when something was there.
Yeah, or I try to sue these people.
Right.
Right? Because they've done me wrong. And actually,
yes.
they didn't. No, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Pravina in South Africa.
Well, hello.
Hi, Pravina.
Yeah, so it's so wonderful to hear about the wonderful work happening not very far from where I am. So I'm going to have
That's
to make
right.
a trip up there sometime.
Absolutely. We'll be dropping into your airport in just a little over a month and making our way up there. So, yeah, we'll be in your part of the world soon.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just finished the most recent recording and listening class that came up. And if anybody's on the fence about doing it, all I can say is just register as soon as this call is over. Go and register.
Jump off that fence and get to your computer.
Yep. And the reason is that those tools are so helpful for going through life every day. And the skills that I've learned, I can apply to anything that's going on with conditioning and the voices in the head and just support for myself. And I find that that's been absolutely transformative.
Of course, this is a spiritual practice, right? We acknowledge that. But the point, what makes it so amazing is that it's so practical, right? So we can say everything in life is spiritual, right? And if you want to get from one place to the other, it's helpful to know how to drive a car if one is available.
That's such
it's
a great
a
analogy.
Skill. Yeah, it's a skill. Yeah. It's something you know how to do, and you know how to do that to take care of yourself. And we have thousands of those in our lives if we stopped and considered it. Just skills that we have, things that one day we didn't know, and now we know, and now we can use them to take care of ourselves. And what you just described is another set of those.
Yeah, yeah. And it's more than just a skill. It's a very powerful skill at that.
Yes. Well, yes. Yes, it is. Because it really is a take care of you. And as you say, it's available all the time. It's there for us every day as we make our way through life. I guess we'd say they are there for you every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's interesting?
Anything in particular? Oh, go ahead. Yeah, good.
Oh, definitely the two-handed recordings. And the way it's broken down, and the other thing I love about the way the class is structured is that each week builds on the skill that you learned the previous week, and it ends up becoming such a well-rounded toolkit, you know. And it's things that you can apply at different times as needed. So.
You got kind of a little tool belt, right?
Yeah.
So in this situation, you can use this tool. And over here, you can use this one. And not only do they exist, but you know how to use them, where and when to use them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that around this, I also noticed the process of the voice is trying to talk me out of doing the practice. But because I've got the toolkit, I find that I am more likely than not to record and listen. Whereas before, what I struggled with was, okay, fine, on the recording and listening website, there's a whole lot of suggestions. But because, you know, you're sort of trying to guide yourself, it's a lot more difficult than actually having the facilitator talk you through exactly what the process is. And, you know, the homework assignments each week. And it's just such a useful class.
Oh, good. Good. I have to tell you this little story. So I was meditating this morning, and there's a practice that I do every day. And And I was a little short on time because I was getting ready to drive somewhere and blah, 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 blah. And it dropped in to do this thing. And I heard this voice just as if somebody was standing next to me say, "I don't want to do that." And I just laughed out loud. It was so startling to hear it like that and to realize how ludicrous the whole thing was. I was absolutely delighted because usually if there's resistance there, it's way more subtle than that. You know, it's not just a voice that comes right out and says, "I don't want to do that." It's like, who cares that you don't want to do that? This is my life. This is my choice. This is what I want to do. And getting to that place with practice where we recognize resistance for what it is and realize that I'm not interested in going that route. I'm interested in moving as quickly as I can toward freedom. I have these tools, and I'm going to use them.
Yeah, yeah. Because I find that at the moment I've got, like, issues and resistance around money and work in my life. And so it's been so useful to actually apply it to this particular situation. I don't know if you have any advice that you can give me around specifically money and work that I can actually focus on.
Well, I think you're doing it. I think you're doing the work. And of course, what there is to watch out for, I would say, as in the previous conversation and earlier in this one, to realize that the same voices that want you to worry about work and money, want you to focus on that and be distressed, I'm guessing, I'm projecting, and upset about that, are the same voices that would talk you out of doing what would take care of you in those situations.
Wow.
Is that true?
It is a setup, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. So here's, you know, you really need to, this is going on, that's going on, you need to be really stressed about that, you need to be worried about that, you need to be upset about that, you need to be, and so there you are, and you go, you know, I think I'm going to do a two-handed recording and see if I can get in touch with what's really going on and have a conversation with the person who gets so upset over this. Oh, no, you don't need to do that. No, you can do that later, but not now. And when we see really clearly what a setup that is, then it's like, no, I'm being with these people who are being subjected to these conversations that are causing them to suffer over a couple of really big life circumstances. Work and money, those are two of the big ones, right? And so I'm going to resolve this. I'm going to practice being present. I'm going to be here as close to center as I can. I'm going to be in relationship with the mentor. I'm going to bring every tool and technique I have to bear on this situation until I get to a point of clarity. That's what I'm going to do.
That's great.
I'm going to get all the support that I can get, right? I'm going to avail myself of everything that might help me. This is what I'm going to focus on until I get to a place of freedom about this, because I don't want to be tortured anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Does that sound right? Yeah. I'm definitely going to listen to that again.
And you know you can do it, right?
Yes.
It's just a matter of not falling for the bamboozle of, "I'm too tired, I don't feel like it, I'll do it later, I don't want to, I don't like to do that, I'm tired of that, I want to do something else." None of that. None of that. Here's a person being tortured in these areas of life. We're going to save her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
You are so very welcome. Take good care of yourself.
I will. And enjoy your time in Cantaloupe.
Oh, thank you. I will. I'm very excited. Thank you.
All right. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Pravina. Another inspiring call. In the middle of the night must be there, Sharon.
Well, yes. I started to ask her, what time is it there? And because I remember us, right, being up in the middle of the night calling into open air. And then I thought, I got to talk to Jen and Ashwini about how is this whole live streaming thing going to be happening? Are we going to, how's that going to work? I'm sure they've got it all figured out. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Yeah, that'll be fascinating. Exciting. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back after that.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Sarah in Iowa City. Can you hear me okay?
Hi there. You
hi,
sound
Sarah.
Very far away.
I do. Okay, let me see if I can make this any better.
Farther away than the Midwest.
In Iowa City? Okay.
Yeah.
Is it getting any better? Okay.
Getting a little better, but you still sound like you're on one side of the room and the speakers are
okay.
on the other side.
Let me, I've been using my earbuds, but let me go to speaker and see if that gets any better. Okay.
All right.
Is this any better?
Oh,
yeah?
It's like you just moved to California.
Oh, great, because I want to move to California, mm-hmm. so that's great.
I know.
All right.
And we want you to, so that works out really nicely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to talk to you. I, you may recall, I called maybe a couple of weeks ago to the morning show when I was sort of reeling with a breakup and dealing with sort of these periodic feelings of feeling suicidal that I was frightened by and confused by, and I kind of wanted to share what I saw in it today, because I know I'm not alone in this, Vanga, in battling those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little bit of background. This was, I had been dating this man and then had discovered some stuff on his cell phone that made me question the whole relationship and, you know, the extent to which what my reality was versus, you know, and what I could see now is that the thing that was causing me so much pain and grief was the sense that I would not be able to love. You know, that I still felt this love toward this man and felt like I couldn't love him with this what I was seeing on his cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I'm suggesting I want a relationship with this person, because what the cell phone told me was that he has a lot of conflicted feelings about, you know, being in a relationship, and it's, you know, so I don't see that there's any long-term potential there, but I think what I saw was this suicidal feeling comes from this fear that any expression of love is going to be met with pain and difficulty. And, you know, it's all like a story that ego built up based on circumstances in my life, you know, early childhood experiences, the loss of my fiance, this most recent instance. And it became this just unbearable thought that I could, like, this quality in me that is so central to my character could not be expressed.
And
I feel like what I somehow, I mean, it's not something that I came to. Like, somebody, I had a conversation with someone that somehow just shifted things ever so slightly, and I could see that, I could see the story ego had going, and I could see that, you know, that feeling of love that I have is still there, and it's still, I don't know, I think we talk about this a lot, like, love is love. Like, it's just there. It's not...
And the love is yours.
It's mine. It's in the universes. It's out there. It's like, it's, we're bathing in it.
It just is. It's what we are.
Right. It's what we are. And that, but it needs expression. And I think my grief was this feeling of, like, I love this person and I can't now because I've seen through this cell phone that he's not someone that I can trust.
So, there's so many ways to go with this, Sarah. There are just so many ways. And I was actually looking at one way right until you said that. Because it's such an interesting point of conditioning or ego perspective that I can't love him because he won't be the way I want him to be.
Okay, so having...
Because you,
that,
you can trust him. Yeah, you can trust him. You just can't trust him to be who you want him to be.
Correct.
Because he isn't. Because that's not
like
who
I
he
can
is.
Love him. I do feel like I can love him from a distance. I don't feel like I can put my security or my... you know, health or anything in his hands. I don't think I can do that, you know.
Well,
but
you
I can
don't
still
want
feel the love
to,
that I feel for him.
Yeah, and you don't want to be in that kind of relationship with somebody who is going to shock you, surprise you, turn out to be somebody that you didn't know they were.
Right, right.
Yeah?
Right.
You don't want that kind of relationship.
No, I think I've heard you say on previous shows that when talking to people who are kind of in difficult romantic relationships, to think about the qualities of the person that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sort of have a list of, like, you know, integrity and honesty and compassion and things like that.
Yeah.
And to orient yourself that way as opposed to any other like
well and of course that is going to put you on such a path, but I want to say something before we talk about that, okay? And that is the ego perspective on this, because this is where it applies to all of us, right? Ego is no to life's yes. Love is yes to life's yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so ego is constantly trying to get you to quit. Not just you, everybody. Okay. It's putting a negative spin on everything. If you're happy, it wants to point out what's wrong, what isn't working, if you want to be optimistic, it's going to take you down a pessimistic path. That's what it is constantly doing, and that's how it gets the attention. So when something like this happens, if you go through this and you see all kinds of stuff about yourself and about life and about love, and you get really excited about the possibilities in life, and that's not going to be good for ego.
Right.
Right? And so why don't you just kill yourself? It's not that ego is concerned that you're not going to be able to love again, or you won't have that opportunity, or that is not what's going on at all. It is a chance to come in with that, with a level of negativity that life circumstances often don't create an opening for.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So just to be clear about that, because if it is presented that it's because you're despairing that you'll never have a chance to love again, no, because that would be kind of valid, right? And that's not where that's coming from at all.
I'm sorry, I missed the last sentence there. You said that would be
kind of valid, that if a person really were somehow sent off to, I don't know where you'd have to be sent off to, that love would not be available to you. But if that were the case, you know, if you're put in solitary confinement or something like
that, it would be
a rugged road to get to the place of loving unconditionally. But, you know, for you, the odds are really good that love is going to continue to be a primary experience in your life. That's what ego is going up against.
And it really wants to shut it down fast.
It really wants to shut it down. And so why don't you just kill yourself? This would be a good, nothing works for you. It's hopeless. Now, are you going to do that? No, probably not. But there's a lot of juice in something like that.
Oh, so much misery, so much energy, so
yes.
much. Ugh,
yes.
Yeah.
A banquet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is probably not, you know, too much for this call, but I, you know, one of the things I told you as I had recorded throughout that relationship, so it's really interesting. It's like all this data there of how ego was, you know, what it was doing at various times. And I think I mentioned before, there was so much clarity about the dynamic between us and the limitations of what we would be able to enjoy together. And I kept seeing ego come in and twist that and use it against me to keep me going in it. And that's just something I think I think your advice was like maybe stop looking at how ego's machinations and its methods, or should I or not, like try to understand like how it's distorting.
Well, you have the recordings, right? And and so imagine you have a lot of recordings about everything that's been going on for the last whatever period of time since you've been practicing. And so those will come up, right? Especially if you have the ability to put everything on shuffle, those will come up and you'll get to see them from a stepped back place that will probably be very informative for you.
Okay.
Now, to get into them, if you have them in folders and just to throw yourself into that, I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't do that.
Just let
I wouldn't. And I especially wouldn't do that at this time. Maybe in a year when there's enough distance that you won't be so triggered. But I wouldn't.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back with the living here. So,
yes, yeah. And it is, we're talking about that with Linda, you know, things happen for a reason, and we both agreed that we don't think they do. And having these kinds of situations are really revelatory, right? To realize how much our reality is being created
mm-hmm.
by a conversation in the head that we just aren't paying attention to, don't see for what it is, and now you see it,
right? Yeah. And I think it's funny because you've been saying it, like you always say, like, I choose unconditional love. And it's like, that's what I finally see through this is like, but no, my primary desire in life is to love. So I'm going to
do
it.
Yeah, so love.
No matter what,
you don't need
no matter how.
That's right. You don't need an object. You don't need
an object
to love.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, that tends to be what closes love down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see that lately. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So good. Very good. Thank you. See you soon.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to it. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sarah. And Sherry, what dropped in during that call is just a real commitment to practice and recording and listening and showing up and participating and the support that practice provides when we do that.
Yes, and it, with whatever happens.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
That's the critical piece, isn't it, that we're just practicing, and so I'm reading right now The Diary of Anne Frank. I think I read it years ago, but if I did, I actually don't remember it. And now this all happened 70 years ago, right? Mm. And here are the words of this young girl, this absolutely typical young girl. And as I'm engaging in her life, she doesn't know that in 2 years she's going to die a hideous, unspeakably hideous death.
Hmm.
Yeah? And it's such a, for me, it's just that step back and realize we don't know. We don't know. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be happy now and grateful for everything, but not to lose sight of the fact that the life that I'm having right now, that I'm living right now, is just right now.
Mm.
So that when something happens, in that anything can happen way, that fact is not devastating to us. We'll still need to grapple with whatever it is that happens. Yes.
Yes.
But we won't be in a place of this shouldn't happen. This should not have happened. This is wrong. This is a mistake.
Mm.
So there isn't the same level of devastation as if. I don't know if I'm communicating it well, but because it is such a subtle place, but it's that lulled into that ego conditioning can do to us, lulling us into, so that when life happens, as it does and will happen to all of us, it's a shock.
Yes.
We're just
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we have time for one more caller here, at least.
Good.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Beth in Mountain View, California.
Hi, Beth.
Hello, Beth.
Hello. I put myself in the queue because I saw something today, and it feels like it's on the opposite end of what tonight what we've been looking at. So I'm just gonna throw it out there and see what happens. So I live in a rental house, and there's certain things that I can manage on the inside of the house. But on the outside of the house, it's all about requesting. You know, could this be trimmed, or could that be taken care of, or could that? And most of the time, it's been yes, and, you know, it's been really kind of very amicable and all that stuff. So today, the manager of the property was here, and I looked at these bushes that were overgrowing from a neighbor's yard onto the driveway that I use, and it was just starting to impede me driving the car in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at him and I said, what do you think about, you know, possibly getting somebody to trim these bushes? And he goes, oh, sure, well, maybe I'll do it the next time I'm out here, or, you know, yes, we'll figure out a way to do that. And I said, great, you know, I'd be happy to help if you have shares, you know, maybe we can make it a project or something like that. And he goes, sure. Within 2 hours of saying that, I looked out and somebody was trimming the bushes. Exactly the way that I was imagining. And I texted him and I said, wow, that went really fast. Did you, how did you do that? And I haven't heard back from him yet. But I have a feeling like it was this very serendipitous thing that happened. But here's what I saw. This is the fascinating thing, is how ego wants to say, I got my way. Like what I wanted to have happen, happened. And that's kind of the opposite of what I think you were pointing out, of a sense of, you know, things happen to us, but it's not personal. And we can learn from it. But what I'm finding is what's kind of happening now is, like, things happen, I'm going to just stop talking now.
Okay. So it feels like, and it sounds like it's not just the shrubs, that this is a time in your life when things are kind of magically going your way, we could say.
Right.
I mean, it's more than just the bushes.
Exactly. It is. That's a good example, though. I mean, that was like it happened so instantaneous. I mean, it was literally so quick. And I think what I'm sort of seeing is this place of questioning, did it really go my way? And we know there's no me, that there is a way that it can go. But there's this real strong attachment to wanting that to be the story. Does that make sense?
Well, wanting to take it personally, wanting to make it about you, right?
Yes.
Now, what about if you walk out there and the bushes are cut down to the ground?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how that would have gone?
Yeah, I think I would have went, wow, that was way more than I could have imagined. But I don't know if I would have been distressed, because they are actually the neighbor's bushes. It's just that the bushes were growing over the fence onto the side of the yard where it was where I use it to drive into the driveway.
Let's do another one then.
Okay.
So you back out of your driveway into a truck.
Right.
Would that be for you?
I would probably take that pretty personally, that I didn't look or I didn't watch or I didn't see or...
Okay,
that's
right. So that's the perspective, right?
Yeah.
This is about me. I am in control.
Yeah.
I am making things happen.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I think that's what I saw with the bushes, as I saw the immediate wanting to make it about, oh, I put good vibes into the universe. I asked the right way. It's like this whole story that I still have control.
Yes. And I think in the world of psychology, that would be called magical thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not helpful, right?
Well, no. because the setup is that's not how it works. And so because you're taking it personally, because you're in control, if there is something, so, you know, you back out into the truck, well, you should have paid better attention. You should have. So there is that illusion. And a lot of people get into awareness practice in order to have control.
Yeah.
So if I'm aware of everything all the time, then nothing bad will ever happen to me. Because I'll be so aware, I'll be able to make it go the way I want it to go. Yeah. But life doesn't operate that way. And so when the thing happens that you really don't want to have happen, the logical conclusion is somehow you made this happen.
Right, right.
And that is a devastating experience.
Yeah, I totally understand that from the perspective of looking at it in my own life and sort of seeing I understand that from the conversations we've had already on the radio show. In this perspective, when it's something that quote unquote goes my way, is there a way to be with it that you just get to rejoice that's what happened and not take it personally?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And a very desirable pursuit that is.
Okay.
Because it is critical. I mean, it's one of those things happen for a reason, and we don't want to think along those lines. And almost everybody can go to experiences that they've had in their lives where they're left in the need to pick one of those two. Either I am in control and I did this. This is my fault. And that is devastating. Okay? For me, it was, when I didn't go home for the weekend and my mother was killed in a car accident. If I had gone home, she wouldn't have gone on that trip. That wouldn't have happened. She would still be alive. Now,
right.
We can see that again, is magical thinking. It's not it's not on the positive end of the continuum, but it is magical thinking that we have control over those kinds of events. And so if we don't want those things to be our fault, then we need to learn not to take credit. And sadly, for most people, it is the being put in a position of devastation that brings that about. Having to face that, in fact, I don't have control. I don't have control. The only thing that we're studying Epictetus now, right? And the things that we have control over are our opinions, our beliefs and assumptions. That's about it. Our internal workings. That's it. Anything else we have no control over. If we're living in an illusion that we do, then we are going to be disabused of that.
Yeah.
We will be. Now or later. But we will be, because it is simply not true. And life unfolding the way life unfolds, we all have those life experiences sooner or later that prove to us we are not in charge. We are not in control. I don't want to get terribly political about this. However, what's going on in our country right now is to me such a perfect example of that. That here is someone who has lived his life, you'll know who I mean pretty darn soon, lived his life in a very, I'm the captain of my ship, I'm in control of my destiny, all of this is happening because of me. I deserve this, I have earned this, and then life circumstances happen that show that all of that has been an illusion. It's just that everything went your way because you're incredibly privileged. And for incredibly privileged people, life often goes their way.
Yeah.
That's why privilege is so popular. And then life circumstances that come up and show that all of that was not a matter of my personal doing. This is something, I'm in charge of this. I'm in control of how my life unfolds. And again, I think I keep coming back to devastating. It's a devastating experience to have.
Yeah. Right. So what drops in for me with the whole hedge thing is a place of literally like seeing it happen and making gesho and going on. You know, just okay.
Well, I would suggest even something more.
That
actually beginning to train yourself to be astonished by life unfolding.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Yeah, to be like, whoa. Okay.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That is astounding. Yeah, that is extraordinary. That is extraordinary. I enjoy that. I appreciate that. And to begin to step back from, to take yourself out of the center of life experiences, disidentifying and being able to watch life unfold rather than that magical thinking, I am the center of the universe, I make all of these things happen, perspective that is ultimately not going to go well.
So then when I back out and I run into the truck, I can go, wow, that's extraordinary.
Wow. Yeah, it's extraordinary.
Wasn't expecting that.
And you don't get into, I should have, if only I had. If I.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Great. Wow. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Very helpful.
Good.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thanks, Beth. Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And I'm astonished as well, Sherry. It's been a fabulous show. Full of astonishing insights. Just lovely.
Full of astonishing insights. There we go. Yes. That's all we ask, to be astonished by life. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael. So appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay,
go
happy.
Go happy. Good night.
Good night.